What a wild day of baseball yesterday. We'll break it all down and then tell you who's going to win game one of each wildcard series on this episode of First Pitch. Yes, welcome on in to First Pitch for Tuesday, October 1st. Your home for news, notes, and updates on Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Lindsey Crosby. You can follow me on Twitter at Crosby Baseball. He's Christian Rau. You can follow him on Twitter at Christian S. Rau, R-A-U-H. And Christian, we're going to get into the AL and NL matchups in the wild card series. But first, what a day of baseball between the Atlanta Braves and the New York Mets. That was certifiably bonkers between those two teams. They split. The New York Mets take game one. 8-7 in an absolutely wild back and forth matchup. The Atlanta Braves rally to win game 2, 3-0 in kind of a snooze fest. But how many times did you think one of these teams had put that game away late in game one on Monday?
At least four. I mean, it was at least four times. I don't know if I've seen a better baseball game. That the ending of that was wild. And I know you and I were rooting for the other, you know, decision to happen in that one as someone who covers the Braves, and you're obviously a huge Braves fan. But yeah, at least four. I don't know how these playoffs are going to live up to that. They will find a way. Don't worry, because we always say something like that before the MLB postseason, and they find a way. But I have no clue, as of right now, how you can top what we just saw in that doubleheader, at least the first game of that doubleheader yesterday, because it was absolutely insane. I thought at one point we were building a statue for Ozzy Albies. The next thing, Francisco Lindor calls games. So it was just a wild, wild matchup, and it just gives you just a little taste of what we're going to expect in October for baseball.
Yeah, and if you missed it, just real quick, Spencer Schwalenbach, 7 innings for Atlanta, 7 scoreless innings, gets up in the 8th, gives up a leadoff double. They pull him for Joe Jimenez. That's Atlanta's primary setup man. You're like, Okay, Joe Jimenez in the 8th, Raisel Iglesias the closer in the 9th. Jimenez gives up a double, a single. 2 runs are in now. It is now 3-2. Raisel Iglesias comes in. Single, sac fly, home run. It is all of a sudden 6-3. So, you know, they pull Raisel Iglesias. They have to go to a different reliever just to get out of the inning. The Atlanta comes back around. They get an RBI single from pinch hitting Jared Kelnick, his first at bat in like 2 weeks. Ozzy Albies clears the bases with a RBI double off of Edwin Diaz, the closer. And so put Atlanta's back up 7-6, and then Francisco Lindor hits a 2-run home run in the top of the 9th. Just absolutely crazy. That Francisco Lindor home run, by the way, fun stat that I got from Sam Miller on Substack. That play, Baseball Reference has something called championship win probability added, which is your odds of winning the World Series. That play, that regular season play, increased New York's chances of winning the World Series by almost 2%. It is the biggest play by championship win probability added of any regular season since 2011. So that was legitimately a massive, almost baseball generational home run from Francisco Lindor. And now you see some of the downside to Atlanta and the Mets not playing last week. They were set up to have Chris Sale back when we thought his back was healthy, and Max Fried go against the Mets. And Lindor probably either wouldn't have been in that matchup or would have been compromised. And instead, Lindor goes out and wins the game for him last night. Atlanta takes game 2. Chris Sale is scratched. He was being held for about a week and a half and as break glass in case of emergency. Scratched with back spasms. Grant Holmes, who threw 1 2/3 on Sunday, turns around and gets the start and goes, I believe, 4 innings in that game. Just an absolutely amazing performance for a dude that had thrown 20-something pitches the day before. 1 hit, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts, no runs charged to him. Atlanta turns around to win 3-0. Is there anything the postseason can do to match that, you think?
I'm not sure. I really am not sure. I think they'll find a way because they always do, but it's going to be a tough one. The top. That was a top five game all time for me watching, like as a baseball fan. Postseason, regular season, doesn't matter. That game was insane. We had a roller coaster, not just a wee, like Sarah Langs put it out. It was a roller coaster up and down of win probability. So yeah, it was just a really exciting game. I love that little stat you mentioned that you found on Substack from Francisco Lindor, but it brings me to a question. Do you believe in momentum heading into the postseason? Do you think that's a really big thing? Because the reason I ask that is because the Texas Rangers won the World Series last year, but they lost the division on the last game of the season last year, and they still found a way to get in. So do you think momentum means something?
I do think momentum exists. I don't think it's as big as we make it out to be as fans, as analysts, as people who watch, who love the game. I don't think momentum's as big as we think it is, but I do think there is something there in a game that is, that it more so than any other major sport, is noted by failure, right? The best hitters in baseball still fail to get a hit 60% of the time, right? 70% of the time, right? They're barely batting over 300. And so I do think having success in clutch moments can help you better visualize and be confident that you can do it again. I think that's maybe the thing where momentum exists, is being able to say, hey, I've been in a situation like this before and I came through and I think I can do it again. I don't think it's as big as we make it out to be, but if anybody has it, it's definitely the New York Mets right now.
I agree.
Based off that win. Okay. So let's get into the wild card matchups. With this win, everything is now set. The National League obviously was waiting to set the matchups until we had this done. The American League has been set. But chronological order today, the AL goes first. The Detroit Tigers at Houston Astros at 2:30 Eastern on ABC. ESPN owns the rights to this round, and so ABC is broadcasting that game at 2:30. I don't think I've seen a regular season game on ABC yet this year. Starting pitchers, Tarik Skubal, who won the AL Triple Crown and is the probable Cy Young winner, versus Framber Valdez. Before we get into anything else on this matchup, Tarik Skubal has the edge over Framber Valdez simply because, I mean, 1.52 ERA in four September starts, and he's just been one of the most dominant pitchers in baseball this year, right?
Yeah, Skubal's been great, and there's no doubt in my mind that he'll be the American League Cy Young, but I'll push back just slightly, and nothing on a nod against Skubal, but what Framber Valdez has done this year, his ERA, it doesn't look as great as it should when you compare him to Skubal. I think he's just over 4.16, I think it is. I don't have it in front of me, but Valdez has a complete game on his record this year in early June against the Angels, and then he has five shutout starts of seven innings or more in the season. So I think, even though I think Skubal has the edge, I think Valdez sets the tone for the entire playoff round for both these teams, because if Valdez can go a pretty long distance, maybe even go the distance, that changes the whole landscape of this Astros rotation and bullpen for the rest of the round.
And I do think once you get past this first game, the advantage pitching-wise shifts to Houston, and so Detroit has to be able to find a way to get this one done. I will say also, Valdez's last 16 starts, 10-2, 2.19 ERA. He does really well against lefties, so I do think that's a component with a lot of left-handed bats in this lineup. The last two times Valdez faced Detroit were both last season, so I don't know how much we can get from this, but he pitched 14 innings, gave up a total of two earned runs, struck out 15, walked six. So it is a much different Tigers team now than it was last year, but there's not a lot of recent success off of him. He's been pretty good recently, not as good as Skubal, but in the ballpark, surprisingly. I do think this is going to come down to game one. If the Tigers can take game one, I like their chances of at least making this a three-game series. If Houston takes game one, you got to feel like Houston's the driver's seat and they're likely to win, because we keep saying the Astros are inevitable.
Yeah, and that's true. I will say this. There's another underlying fun little matchup going on. AJ Hinch going against his old team, the Houston Astros. He did say this when talking about this matchup, and I think this is a really excellent quote. This might be the best quote of the wild card round so far. He said, "We're going to continue to be the underdog And that has not sucked for us so far in the last 2 months. And he's not wrong. Since August 1st, the Detroit Tigers have a 0.2% chance on August 1st to make the playoffs, according to FanGraphs. Well, they're the sixth seed, and they're going to Minute Maid Park starting tonight. And it's hard to rule them out. I know they're going against the Houston Astros. They have not lost in a first round of a postseason since the 2001 National League Division Series, when they were in the opposite league, Lindsay. They've gone to seven straight ALCSs. They're looking to make their fifth World Series in 8 years. It's hard to rule against the Houston Astros, but if any team can do it, it's the hottest team in baseball right now, and it's the Detroit Tigers.
Yep. We're holding picks to the end.
We can do them. I think we do them right now before we go into every other squad.
Okay. Tigers, Astros. I think I've got Tigers in three.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think they take game one, Houston rallies for game two, and Detroit has to piece it together bullpen-wise for game three.
I would love to see that, because I think that that would be great for baseball, seeing some new faces, but I cannot rule out the inevitable. I think a finger will snap, we will see Thanos. I mean, the Houston Astros finally take care of what it is done, but I will say it will go to three games. I think the Houston Astros will have a challenge, and they will defeat the Detroit Tigers though in three games. So I like that we're both at three games. I think this is going to be I think this might be the best series of the wild card round. So I like how we started off with this one.
Yeah. I think the biggest upset of the wild card round, probably though, Royals at Orioles. I've kind of given away my pick there, but 4:08 Eastern on ESPN2. ESPN2, not ESPN, you know, that's fine. Cole Reagans versus Corbin Burns. This might be the pitching matchup of the day. Fantastic thing here. This is something, the last time the Orioles won a postseason game was 2014. They swept the Tigers. They got swept by the Royals. But this is something where Kansas City's offense has been very anemic. They've only scored 74 runs in the month of September. It's the lowest run. It's the lowest total in baseball for the month of September. Obviously they lost Vinny Pascantino, to open the month. There is conversation that he may be on the wild card roster. We'll see. Wow. He's been taking swings. He's been doing some hitting. They may get him back. But this is something where I if they can get more offensive help, and they went out and they got some veterans. They got Tommy Pham. Like, they have some guys. If Bobby Witt can get some more help, I think they can upset the Orioles, because the Orioles pitching outside of Corbin Burns is incredibly suspect. I just don't know if the Orioles have enough starters or have a reliable enough bullpen to make it happen. So I think it's going to come down to game one. If Cole Reagans can get the win over Corbin Burns, I think Kansas City is going to win the series. But it all comes down to, can the offense of Kansas City score enough runs? Because they haven't done it in the month of September.
Yeah, the wild card round is crazy because it's only three games. So game one certainly sets the tone. It is very hard to come back if you lose the first game of the series. You have to know you have to go three games if you lose game one. So I'm actually kind of with you on this. I think the Kansas City Royals have one of the most underrated pitching staffs in all of baseball. And I think it does start with Cole Reagans. You know, last year he was traded from the Texas Rangers to the Kansas City Royals for Adolis Chapman so they could make their run for the World Series. Cole Reagan, I think he finally wants to make a run of his own. I think he's been great so far this season. I really like what the Royals are doing. Matt Cutaro is amazing. Old Dominion alumni, should mention that as well. And another Old Dominion guy, Vinny Pascantino. I'd love to see him back in the roster. But regardless, if he's in there or not, I think that the Royals take this one. I'll throw you my predictions before it goes back to you. I think it still goes to three games, though, because the Baltimore Orioles will get their first playoff win since 2014. Might even happen in game one, but I think the Kansas City Royals win it in three games.
If the Orioles win game one, they probably win it in two, simply because I don't think this... If the series goes three, Kansas City takes it, because I don't like Baltimore's pitching options. But it's all going to come down to Kansas City's lineup. Can they score enough runs? And we've seen the ability to do it. It's just a question of, can you manufacture it in the postseason? I feel like they have enough speed. They don't whiff a ton. Corbin Burns has not been getting a lot of whiffs recently. That cutter is not nearly what it used to be. His free agency is going to be incredibly fascinating, too, because of that. But I'm going to say Kansas City in two, and Baltimore still doesn't get a postseason win. Now, I feel like I'm picking Like, it's, I just said their offense has been anemic, but at the same time, I don't think the Orioles pitching has been that good outside of Burns either. So we'll see what happens. Something has to give, right?
Bobby Witt versus Gunnar Henderson. That'll be a fun matchup in itself for three games.
That is tons of fun. Okay. With the Mets splitting the series with the Braves yesterday, the National League is now set. The Mets are going back to Milwaukee to take on the Brewers. That game is at 5:32 on ESPN. Luis Severino gets the starts for the Mets against Freddy Peralta getting the ball for Milwaukee. You asked earlier about momentum. Do we think that the momentum of that comeback in Atlanta, the playoff clincher, carries over into the first game in Milwaukee and the Mets just roll the Brewers?
No, I don't. And I think that this is the one moment where I think that playoff experience might not matter, because I am so impressed with this Milwaukee Brewers squad. I think that they have overcome the odds more than the majority of teams this season. I can't say all, but what they have done after the trades of Corbin Burns, after the injuries to Brandon Woodruff and Devin Williams, they still found a way to make it into this.
Christian, I love Yelich.
Exactly. Forgot about him. That's exactly how crazy this season has been. But what Pat Murphy has done to continue to get this squad all eyes on the prize, I like them for at least a round. And I think the Mets just became the victim. So this is where I go and say, Lindsay, the Brewers are going to win this series in two. The Mets won't even get a win in the postseason. That's why we love at the beginning of the show. I don't believe momentum has that big of an issue heading into the playoffs.
You saw the Mets struggle in Milwaukee over the weekend when Milwaukee had nothing to play for, right? And the Mets obviously wanted to win so they could go ahead and clinch and not have to play that doubleheader. They still did. But New York using their bullpen like they did, Edwin Diaz, all of that. Yes, they were able to save a lot of guys by winning game one. But still, you're in a situation here where it feels like Milwaukee has the advantage. You can set your rotation, your bullpen is rested, and despite the injuries, they've been able to make it happen, right? Jackson Churio has been one of the most dynamic young players in baseball in the second half. If he did this the whole season, this would be rookie of the year caliber stuff. He'll still finish pretty high in the race, but he's not going to win it. This feels like Milwaukee finally gets a win and moves on. Yeah, and I want to say that they're also going to win it in two. I'm hesitant to say that they're going to win it in two simply because feels like Milwaukee isn't allowed to do that. It's just they've had a lot of struggles in the postseason past. But I will say that Milwaukee does win the series. It may take three games, but I also think Milwaukee's going to win. I like these pitching matchups. I like the resilience of this Milwaukee team. Like you, I think this is probably a manager of the year caliber job, despite, yes, they were a playoff team last year, but all of the injuries, watching Craig Counsell leave, trading away Corbin Burns, the Devin Williams not pitching until the end of July. I got Brewers in three as well. I have Brewers as well, but I have them in three.
That's going to be a wild matchup. All these matchups are going to be really good, but this Brewers one might be one of the best ones because of them just setting the tone. And Pat Murphy, what he's done to this squad has just been incredible. Yeah, I think two games, I really do think it. And it'll all start off with good old fastball Freddy. If he can start the tone, set it strong, we might even see like the most poetic thing happen, Lindsay. We might see Rhys Hoskins put the Mets to bed.
I would enjoy that so much. Okay, final matchup of the day, Braves at Padres, 8:38 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Michael King is the announced starter for the Padres. It's interesting here. Musgrove is game two, and they're holding Dylan Cease until game three with the idea of he can pitch the DS if they don't need to go three games. Atlanta, we have no clue. Max Fried started Friday. He'd be lined up on regular rest for game two. Ronaldo Lopez started Saturday, also pitched an inning in the doubleheader yesterday. He'd be lined up for a game three. Chris Sale, like we said earlier, scratched with back spasms, may not even make the wild card roster. It's not out as of time of recording. And they have to play three games in 3 days after flying across the country last night. They used nine pitchers in the doubleheader including Raisel Iglesias and Joe Jimenez twice. They pitched in both games. Atlanta said last night that their starter is probably one of the AAA trio of Bryce Elder, AJ Smith-Shawver, and Ian Anderson. Again, they've played four games in the last 3 days. They flew across country last night late. Do you see Atlanta winning a game in this series? Never mind winning the series.
I think they can win a game. I am very hesitant and very concerned if they can make the next round. That was a lot of work to do in that doubleheader. And then they had to fly across the country. They got a little bit of celebration in. There's chances that you can have a hangover game today for their celebration, from jet lag, from lack of sleep. I mean, there's a lot of things that are just not going to go the right. Oh, and by the way, they're going to start a pitcher that might not have made a single start yet in the MLB regular season in 2024. So there's a lot of things not going their way for Atlanta. I am not hopeful for them in game one. I think game two would be their best bet, if whether it's Max Fried or Chris Sale, who knows what his injuries are, or Ronaldo Lopez. If the Braves are going to win this, it's going to be in three, but it's hard to pick against these San Diego Padres, man. They look really good. They have arguably the best bullpen in baseball, especially after the trade deadline. Manny Machado's hot. Jackson Merrill has been fantastic. I'm leaning towards the Padres here, but I will say that the Braves keep it interesting because they have overcome the odds all season long, Lindsay. I'm going to go with the Padres, but I'm going to say three games. They will have to use Dylan Cease in this one.
I'm also going to say three games. I think it's going to be the Padres as well. It's just, I know Atlanta's overcome so much this year, and it feels like this is, like, the other part of this is this Braves offense after the postponed games last week has not been the same. They've struggled to drive in runners in scoring position. Over the last five games of the season, the three games against the Royals and the doubleheader against the Mets, they went 5-for-38 with runners in scoring position. They stranded 38 runners. And it just feels like whatever mojo they had from the series where they had Cincinnati and the Marlins and then the opener versus the Mets, they hit 20 home runs in seven games. Feels like that momentum is gone. And yes, Ozzie Albies was great late to take the lead back for Atlanta in the bottom of the eighth. I feel like it's probably going to go three. I feel like this is probably also going to be the Padres. And that's frustrating. That really is for Braves fans. You fought so hard just to even make it. But again, I said it earlier in the show, this is house money. This is Atlanta was not expected to make the postseason with all of these injuries, right? There was a time late in August, when they were out of the postseason picture at that point, and they fought their way back in, eliminated Arizona yesterday. This is house money. So I'm with you. I think it's going to be three games. I think it's going to be the Padres. But real quick, I do want to ask, looking at the postseason picture, okay, for each of the teams that are on bye right now, who would you rather face? So in the AL, if you're the Cleveland Guardians, would you rather face the Tigers or the Astros? The Astros are the juggernaut, but the Tigers are the team that know you because you've played them a lot this year. Who would you rather face?
That's a tough one. But I think I would rather face the Tigers because you know them as well, right? So I think I would go with them. You don't know what to expect from the Houston Astros if you believe in playoff pedigree whatsoever. The Houston Astros are the toughest team for all the teams remaining because they have done it time and time again. As I mentioned earlier, they are trying to chase their fifth World Series appearance in 8 years. So if I'm the Guardians, I'm hoping the Tigers win that series.
Yeah, I think I'm in the same place you are. It's just one of those, like, you gotta hope that Detroit can pull off the upset, because you'd rather face a division opponent than face the juggernaut that is the Houston Astros. If you're the New York Yankees, do you rather face the Kansas City Royals or the Baltimore Orioles? Because I honestly, if I'm the Yankees, I want the Orioles. Yep, I want the division here. Rival, because you've shown down the stretch you are better than them. You won the division against them. Your records have kind of gone opposite directions. I want the Orioles instead of the Royals, if nothing else, so that it's easier for my fans to travel and take over their stadium for the games.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think if the Orioles found a way to get through the wild card round, we've already talked about how their pitching has been, you know, a little bit lackluster. If them going into the ALDS with most of their pitchers already on short rest going into the Yankee series would be very tough. So yeah, I would want the Orioles if I was the Yankees as well.
Got it. All right. If you're the Philadelphia Phillies, do you want the Mets or the Brewers?
Oh man, that's a tough one.
That's a tough one.
I think so. If the Mets win this series, they're arguably going to be hot. They might make me a liar saying that momentum is not a real thing. Mets against Phillies would be a wild series. I mean, you're talking about two of the craziest fan bases in baseball going at it for a whole playoffs series. But then again, you talk about the familiarity between them. And then the Brewers, obviously, what they've done. I'm going to lean towards the Brewers in this one. I think that the Phillies would rather face the Brewers because I don't even know the answer. I'm just going to lean towards the Brewers on this one. But then again, if we get the poetic justice with Rhys Hoskins putting the Mets to bed, could you imagine if he did it to the Phillies?
Oh my gosh. That would be one of the free agent signings of the year if it ended up working out.
Be wild.
Just so we know, the Phillies are 4-2 against the Brewers this year, +4 run differential. They are 7-6 with a +10 run differential against the Mets. So they've won either way. They're not necessarily scared of either team because they've beat them both this season. If you're the Dodgers, do you want the Braves or the Padres? And I think we both know the answer to this. You want the Braves.
Yeah, you want the Braves just because of you don't know what's going on with Chris Sale, the injuries, all that. But could you imagine? And we might get it. There's a very good chance we get it. The Padres versus the Dodgers in the NLDS, that might be the playoff round of the season if we get that. Because we know those teams just play really good baseball against each other.
Yeah, that would be tons of fun. Okay, before we go, I do want to note the passing of Pete Rose, longtime Cincinnati Red, Philadelphia Philly, MLB's hits leader, and, you know, famously banned from baseball, lifetime ban for gambling on the sport, including while he was manager, of the Cincinnati Reds. And this is complicated, right? There's a lot of people who are calling for, now that he has passed, he has lost his life in a battle with cancer, that the lifetime ban should be over and he should be inducted in the Hall of Fame. And I think two things can be true at once. I think on the baseball field, he was an incredible talent who did amazing things in the sport. He has one of the longest consecutive games played streak at first base, obviously all of the hits, Charlie Hustle, all of that stuff. I think at the same time, we can acknowledge that the thing that he did that got him banned from life is, even despite the sport's embrace of gambling, is still not allowed today. A minor leaguer was banned for life this year for the same thing that Pete Rose did. And even if you ignore the off the field things, the legal issues, the serious legal allegations against Pete Rose, it's still, to me, hard to enshrine him in the Hall of Fame, given all of the things that he's done off of the field, whether it's the gambling, whether it's the legal issues. And so I think it's right to acknowledge what he did and his performance, recognize his performance. I would expect MLB to do something before these All-Star games tonight, before these playoff games tonight. But I don't think he needs to be enshrined in the Hall of Fame. And I think that posthumous calls to enshrine him in the Hall of Fame are a little bit misguided because of all of the negative things around his performance.
I agree completely with every word you said. I don't even have anything extra to add to that. Great baseball player. But as you mentioned, yeah, there was definitely some things that put a tamper on his career, and betting on baseball is still not allowed. And as you mentioned, there's a player that was banned just last year from it. So what makes you think that someone should go in Cooperstown as of right now? So I agree with you. No notes.
Yeah. We will be back tomorrow to recap all four of these games. It's going to be a fun day of baseball. In the meantime, if you're listening on audio, do us a favor, leave us a 5-star review. If you are on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, hit the notification bell so you know when we drop tomorrow's episode. And until then, this has been First Pitch.